You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
On location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
And your feet start kicking. Then you know.
Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Todd Alba Show.
We lost control 30 seconds in.
We are live here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, the 11th of July, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here live in Chippewa Falls. Aaron Zommer is our producer engineer back at the old world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. And joining me once again for the entire show, my friend, my colleague here at Civic Media and the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning on many of these stations from 6 until 9. Mr. Pat Kreitlow, are you ready for day two, Pat?
The hump day camel was not available. I was happy to fill in and instead. You did this.
I did it. This. We talked to Rusty Volk, the executive director of the State Fair yesterday. We said, Rusty, I really want to have a live animal on this show. Can we bring a live animal into this building?
And folks, he did it. I came walking in here just a moment ago. And there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken, chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table. The most gentle, I don't, what do you have that chicken narked up on? But it is just so still. And
I know, it's a very docile chicken, yes. A docile bird.
We should introduce our guest.
We will in just a second. Big show today coming up in just a few minutes in the first hour here. The Washington County executive and a Republican candidate for governor, Josh Shulman, is going to be here on the program, stopping by to say hello. And then at 2:30, BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions talking about their new documentary on Coob. Of course, the national championships taking place this weekend in Eau Claire. Hour number two, then at 3 o'clock hour, a what's worse, sunburn or frostbite. And then at 3:20, our friend and colleague Mike McKay from WCFW 105.7 FM will be here to discuss what's going on the music side of the Chippewa Valley. And at 3:35, Ken Szymanski, teacher and author of his new book featuring the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, will be here. So a huge show.
And your mom.
Oh, yeah,
she's
mom is here.
Literally right there.
Yes, mom, Miss Linda, is here once again. Okay. Our Anthony Anderson version of mom.
She's taking care of my bucket of cookies that I brought in for y'all.
Yes, we're going to talk fair food in hour two. Look, Pat brought in these beautiful fair chocolate chip cookies. We're going to talk about food, fair food as well. But first, let's start off right away with one of our exhibitors here and a wonderful person. She was so kind to come on very short notice. My sister Heather and I were walking through the small animal barn, and we saw these great chickens.
Trolling.
And yes, and here we have Kaylee High, a recent graduate of Stanley Boyd High School here in the area. Kaylee, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
It's really, really cool. So introduce your bird here. What is her name and what is her,
what is this?
No, I mean, I know it's a hen, but I mean, what's the line of bird? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So this
breed.
Sue.
Yeah.
She's a Dominique and she's 6 years old.
A Dominique, do you call them hens or chickens?
Hens. It's both.
Dominique hen, and her name is Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Pat would say it's a very docile bird.
Yeah, she's kind of been everywhere with me. She was one of my very first chickens I got, and so,
really?
Yep, aww. 6 years strong. She's still going.
So does your family farm in the area?
Yeah, we have a farm over in Stanley, Wisconsin.
Okay. Dairy or cattle?
We kind of have a little bit of everything. It used to be a dairy farm. And then about 4 years ago, we switched over to beef. So now my brother shows steers.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Would have been a little messy to have a steer coming.
Yeah.
So we decided on that.
We take care of the bull ourselves over here.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
We are just fine. This is the first chicken I've ever... This could be an emotional support animal coming on a plane.
Right. Yeah.
An emotional support chicken. You are so gentle.
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah. This is her all the time.
Wow.
How old were you when you first... Did you do this through 4-H when you first started showing?
Yeah. So I started in 4-H and then I showed all 6 years throughout 4-H and then I joined FFA and started my own poultry team. But I started in fifth grade and then got my first chickens in sixth grade. So
That's well, we were telling the story off the air. My sister and I had a terrible experience. We tried to sneak a little chick into my mom's basement, and it did not turn out well. You need to have proper training. Did your parents kind of show you about small animals growing up, or did you learn that through FFA or 4-H?
It was kind of just a learn-as-you-go type thing. We had never had chickens. My grandma had chickens, so she kind of gave us, like, the starting stuff, and then from there on, it was just me trying to figure out what I was doing.
But you would agree with Todd's mom not trying to raise a chicken
yeah, no,
in the basement.
Do not raise
in a cardboard without your mom knowing. Okay. And when you show chickens at a fair, what are the judges looking for?
Yeah, so they're looking for if they have all their feathers, the brightness of their skin. The younger they are and the better layers they are, the brighter their skin's going to be. They check, like, the length of, like, their pelvis and their sternum and all those kind of things. So
our measurements involve. They have to go through that?
They have to measure them with your fingers and know it from there. Yeah, pretty much.
I had no idea, Pat. I grew up in a rural community in southwest Wisconsin with county fairs. I did not know there was this much detail to judging chickens.
I have to tell you an honest-to-God story. My first time coming to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and we're going through the barns, and they were judging rabbits at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if have you had any in your family on the farm?
Yeah.
Back? Okay. The judge is talking to the whole crowd about the rabbits and saying all the things about what they're judging on, and the judge honestly says, now, if it were up to me, these rabbits would already be, like, field dressed and prepared.
Oh my gosh.
So you could see the muscular structure and blah blah blah. And Sherry and I are just horrified. Like, this is how they judge animals? Is the judge's name Ed Gein?
Yeah, I mean, what is terrible.
Now, I've never heard that since, but it was a terrible introduction to animal judging at the fair. I mean, I get that with the cattle, you know, auctioned, they're going to be turned into
burger
yeah. or whatever. And I do have to admit that today is National Kebab Day, and my initial thing to bring into you, but I ate it first.
I'm glad you did it. It could have devastated poor Sue.
It was a chicken kebab.
It could have devastated poor Sue.
It was. Yes.
We're talking with Kaylee High here from Stanley Boyd High School. She is in the small animal division and showing her hen Sue here. Pick up on that. So my sister Heather and Pat and his wife went to dinner. We went to dinner last night, and our server was talking about, was it her brother? Or somebody in your family was showing a steer,
yes,
and it did better than they thought, and it was like he had raised this animal for a long time, and now
they were bringing in two, and the one that they thought for sure was going to be the champion, like, had a bad experience, we walked funny or whatever that one time, and then the other one turned out to be a reserve champion. So, I mean, you don't know until you're in the moment being judged.
You can take your best guess, but, yeah, that's about it. You just have to go for it. So,
but talk to us a little bit about this. Yes, you're raising them, and if they do well, then obviously they're not going to be around any longer. But you become attached to these animals, right?
Yeah, I know. Last year, my brother was glad to see his go. His was very naughty last year. But this year, yeah, he was a little upset about it because he had a very sweet one this year.
And this isn't like Miss America. They don't move up. There's not a competition in West Allis and then beyond.
Right.
Anything like that.
It's a culmination?
I don't know much about it, but I do know that, like, it's almost a requirement for them to go to auction unless they don't make weight, or if they are sick, then you kind of have to take them home and try to sell them there. You want them to go to auction most of the time because you spend a lot of money trying to get them in a feed, and you want to be able to pay it off. So.
Well, Sue, it's been fun. I mean,
well, Sue's been here 6 years.
Yep, so chickens and rabbits don't go.
Okay.
It's just hoofstock.
You hear that, rabbit judge?
Right?
You cool.
And you were talking a little bit before we went on the air. My mom, actually, Miss Linda over there, asked a good question about, because there's all sorts of different naturally colored mm-hmm. eggs. How does that happen? Is it certain breeds of hens?
Yeah, so it's actually, you can buy the breed specifically made for the color egg you want. So if you want an olive egger, you're going to get some green eggs. And if you want an Easter egger, you'll get anywhere from pink to blue eggs. So
an
it's
Easter
cool.
egger, that's what we need, Pat.
Easter egger, yes. How often is it that people start their chicks by getting them from, like, a neighbor or somebody else in the community? Because one of the things we heard about when they were talking about postal service cutbacks and things is that there's also the mailing of, like, live chicks and things like that.
Yeah, no. So I've always gotten mine from the mail.
You've gotten your chicks from the mail.
Yep, you go pick them up from the post office once they get here, and you just kind of hope that the post office doesn't lose them. I can't say much. My mom works for the post office, so she'll be very mad at me.
Good for her. We love our postal workers.
Yes. But yeah, it's pretty often, and then there is groups kind of everywhere that you can buy chickens from then too.
So. Wow. A couple more minutes left. Talk to us a little bit about, and I know it's fun, it's coming to the fair, that sort of thing. I've known a lot of people in 4-H over the years. Talk to us a little bit about what you've learned in raising hens in terms of just responsibility, and how has it prepared you? I know you said you're going to college next year in Iowa. Mm-hmm. How has it prepared you in how you live your life and how you carry yourself?
Yeah, so especially raising chickens, it takes a lot of remembering last time you collected eggs, remembering when you went and fed them, what did you feed them, are you making sure they get the right nutrients, are you getting close to fair, do you need to start feeding them some extra stuff? And so it's kind of just making sure you actually check on your birds, and they are one of the easier animals to show, so I'm a little lucky there. But also kind of going forward, I know, like, compassion, like, every animal has a different type of personality, especially chickens. They're all different, so you kind of have to figure out how to deal with all that.
I'm sorry, did you say what you were going to be studying?
Yeah, I'm going for Spanish. I want to be a medical interpreter. So.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Right. Children in Mexico then say what a chicken says what?
Oh, it's P-O-P-O.
P-O-P-O.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
The chickens learn a whole different language down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know my friends in El Salvador, when they say, what does a chicken say? It's kikidikidi,
yep.
Not cockadoodle-doo.
Yep, I've heard that as well.
Kikidikidi, not cockadoodle-doo.
Okay.
So it's a Spanish chicken, Pat.
Wow, okay. Is this something you do in the future? I mean, would you want to live in a rural setting, maybe on your own little hobby farm versus a city?
Yeah, I want to have chickens for the rest of my life.
You
I can't
do.
Imagine not having chickens. Oh, so
that's super cool.
Yeah.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just appreciate you coming on so much. I think that too often, you know, Pat and I talk about that young people spend too much time on screens and things like older people spend too much time on screens too. But I'm just always uplifted by young people in 4-H and FFA who are getting out there. And I know, as your generation says, touch grass, literally and figuratively. I just think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. I've met some very cool people through 4-H and FFA, and I'm very honored to be part of it.
But I have to ask, with Minecraft and the movie, and a lot of kids like to play Minecraft. I've got both my two oldest grandsons go crazy for Minecraft, and then we saw the movie. How often has Sue had to hear the lava chicken song?
See?
Pat's in the know.
Yes,
yeah.
Really. Steve's lava
Way
chicken.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of chicken jockey. I went and brought her to a fourth grade thing for FFA. It was they got to meet all sorts of animals, and I heard it too much, and she
heard
it too much.
They throw popcorn at any point.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great.
Well, you said, we saw one of the other ones, a hen or a rooster. I said, how about that? When you're like, no, I'm not bringing him over.
No,
he's too mean.
She's very food motivated, so she thinks all you have is food, and she will peck at you. So I was
really?
Like, she's not coming with.
Oh,
there are different personalities, Pat.
Yes.
Oh, yes, there are. I mean, I had to be careful bringing in the big bucket of cookies. Otherwise, he was just going to be pecking away until we fed this guy after the show.
Here's a ridiculous question. But Sue here, does she lay eggs?
Yeah, so she's not laying anymore, but she did used to. She's too old. She's just kind of, she might lay like one a year, but that's about it.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
This is a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
It's an arm pump over there. It's a little too enthusiastic, but we understand.
I didn't know that. That's great. Well, it's just been a pleasure. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. Thank you for spending this time with us. And congrats on graduation. And best of luck. What university in Iowa?
University of Northern Iowa, down in Cedar Falls.
It's a great university.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck and everything.
Thank you.
A pleasure. We'll come back and talk with Josh Shulman on the other side. Pat Kreitlow and Todd with, a live animal. From the Northern Wisconsin State Fair live on location.
Never doubt you again.
Come on back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Per pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, along with Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow every morning across the network on 6 until 9. Glad to have you along. Pat, you never know who you're going to run into at the fair. While Heather and I were out trying to find a live animal, Sue the chicken.
Look who you found.
We ran into a candidate for governor. That's the great thing about coming to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. You can have good food, you can have family fun, and you can meet people that you want to just strike up a conversation with as well.
And that's what running for governor or anything legislature is all about. So Josh Shulman is here, the Washington County Executive, and first Republican announced candidate for governor for 2026.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be up here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Why don't we just start off with, for those that might not know you, you're from Southeast Wisconsin, but tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what you did, and why you're running for governor.
Yeah, so I'm the Washington County Executive. I was born in Hartford, so Washington County originally. I'm the son of a Lutheran minister and a registered nurse. And my folks moved around a lot when I was a youngster. And mostly the eastern part of the state. Middle school and high school years in Kewaunee, so I'm a graduate of Manitowoc Lutheran High School. And my wife and I have been married 24 years this year.
Congrats.
And thank you very much. I'm a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was with the Madison Unit, the 147th Black Hawk Unit in Iraq in 2003. And when I came back, I dedicated the rest of my life to the service and sacrifice of the guys and gals who didn't make it back, either in whole or in part. And reflecting the love of my Lord Jesus by loving my neighbor. So that's what put me into public service, and I've been in municipal administration for 15, almost 20 years, and county executive for the last six in Washington County.
So when you're looking at the Republican primary right now, and first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I had the opportunity to work for former Congressman Scott Klug and handle military affairs. I never served, but I have a great appreciation for our veterans, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
But when you look at this Republican primary, there's another person who announced a couple days ago here. I think one of the big things that people are looking at is in this environment, I mean, I'm a former Republican for 30 years. As you look at the current iteration, it seems like a lot of people are saying, well, you are going to, or someone, whoever wins this Republican primary is going to have President Trump's endorsement. Do you feel that? Do you need President Trump's endorsement to win this race?
President Trump's certainly important. It is his party. I mean, he's been around for a decade now and changed everything in dynamics and in politics in all of America. But I think this primary in particular is going to come down to one thing and one thing only. In my lifetime, Republicans have only ever elected two governors. Tommy Thompson and Scott Walker. Both were young, energetic guys in under 45. One was a county executive, son of a minister. And so we've got a template that we know works on our side. And that's what I expect to work this time. But at the bottom line is we haven't had a candidate in a long time on our side that really burns a shoe leather, runs into media at county fairs, state fairs. And I think that's what we need. You know, meet people where they're at. Have conversations with one another again. Stop talking past each other. There's been way too much of that. And so that's what I like to see change in this campaign.
Whatever Governor Tony Evers decides, whether to run for a third term or whether to step back, then there will be a very crowded Democratic primary. That's plain to see.
Sure.
You will have things to say about the Evers administration and or the Democratic field as it comes up. But since we only have limited time here, I want to do, and I heard this a lot running all the time as well. They're like, well, just tell us what you're going to do for me. So I want to give you that opportunity. If you are elected, what is it that you want to do?
Yeah, the big thing that I'm focused on is making Wisconsin a place that people are proud to be, not just be from. And what I mean by that is we've talked about brain drain in the state for, it feels like a quarter century, most of my life. Young people leaving the state for other opportunities, never coming back. And now you're starting to see retirees leaving. My mom and dad are residents of Wisconsin, but they have a place down in the Fort Myers area. And I went down and visited this spring, and like always, all the people from Wisconsin gather, and they have the brat fry and the whole nine yards, and they're all residents of Florida for 6 months and one day or more. They love the sunshine and the zero income tax. And I think both of those things we have to work change. If you look at the demography of the state in the next 25 years, it's kind of scary. So we've got to retain. And I think that's going to be my number one
focus.
Can
I go to the other end of the age spectrum, though? Retaining our best and brightest, our young people, so that they don't leave.
That's right.
Can you tell them?
So my big thing with that is I think the big hurdle for them coming back is where are they going to live? Right, housing in Washington County, the average price of a home is about $400,000. It's demonstrably worse in Dane County, for example. But that is a similar average across the state. I don't know how young people even can think about affording a house right now. So I think that's a big issue we've got to tackle. We have a track record in Washington County, and I think we can take it to Madison.
State budget passed last week. Governor Evers signed it into law. There are people on the right who are saying that Tony Evers whipped the Republicans. There are people on the left saying they got a raw deal out of it. Where do you stand? Was this a good budget? And it's something you could support, or do you think it should have been better?
Yeah, it's not a good budget. I don't think anybody's happy. You know, I heard Greta Neubauer criticizing it, saying she didn't even have a seat at the table. I think that's wildly inappropriate. The fact that legislative leadership and the governor weren't even talking to each other until, what was it, 3-4 weeks before the budget needed to be adopted, with essentially a fiscal gun to your head with the federal money going away. So, you know, that's something when I'm governor, you know, I wanted to reach out to Greta and say, listen, we might not agree on much, but you're going to have a seat at the table. Like, we have to be talking to each other. I think it's one of the big things that's wrong in America is we just talk past one another. We don't even have conversations anymore. Yeah, so it's good to have conversations, and I think that's something that's got to change. We need leadership.
Anything, we have about a minute left or so. Sure. Anything we haven't asked you, and I'd love to have you come back on. Thanks for doing this. What have we not asked you that you think people of this state need to hear of why you want to be governor?
I think the big thing that people I've been hearing is the education governor, Governor Evers, prides himself on being an education governor, and they are very concerned about education long term. I mean, the declining enrollments, really statewide on average, that's a problem. The way that the funding formula works and has not worked for over 30 years is a problem. And we just keep throwing money. We're not looking at outcomes. We're not looking at what's best for kids. We're just looking at how do we fund. I think round a table, even if we disagree, and work together to solve. That's what I'm going to do when I'm governor. It's what I've done as county executive in Washington County.
Washington County executive and now Republican gubernatorial candidate Josh Shumlin, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. Look forward to future conversation with Pat and I moving forward.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Pleasure. Visit joshshumlin.com. More information.
Nice to have you up here in Chippewa.
Thank you.
Come on back. We're going to talk a little B.J. Hollers and filmmaking and COOB after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show with Pat Kreitlow, live on location from Chippewa Falls at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on the Civic Media. Ready to welcome back to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair live in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Todd Allball on the Civic Media Ready Network, along with my guest co-host for the day for the last 2 days here. So kind, so gracious. He usually gets up, or he always gets up way early.
Better always get up.
He's at 6 until 9 a.m. mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Mr. Kreitlow is here at the table. That song is going to be playing, Pat, at some point during the weekend for the U.S. National COOB Championship in Eau Claire, just down the road from here. But what a show so far. We started off with a live chicken, followed by a politician. What's the rule? You never let him follow kids or animals, and showman follow. God love him, he did it.
But if you're going to, it may as well be, you know, followed up then by champions.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Joining us via StreamYard just down the road, because they are busy indeed. They are from Fireside Productions. BJ Hollers, who has been on the show before, talking about the great documentary When Robert Rubber Hit the Road. Todd could talk there. It was world premiere here at the Pablo Center. We were up here for that. And his production partner at Fireside, Steve Dayton, joined us via StreamYard. BJ and Steve, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's really, really great. Number one, again, if people haven't seen When Rubber Hit the Road, it's a great documentary on the closing of the Uniroyal Tire facility here in Eau Claire. Just really quickly, have you guys had more follow-up on that? Is the DVD out still, or what's the status on that great piece?
Yeah, it's all going great. PBS Wisconsin is screening it and streaming it regularly, so you can check it out on PBS Wisconsin any second of your day. It's also on Amazon, and you can pick up the DVD at our website, firesideproductions.com.
Wow, that's great. If people haven't seen it, I would really encourage it. It's just a great film, number one. But what a story. You know, Pat, you and I talked about this before, of just the resilience of this community up here in Chippewa Falls.
Right, and I'm absolutely certain that resilience comes through in this as well. And I noticed that you got a lot of gratitude for putting this together, because it's a part of Eau Claire history that I think people feared was starting to be forgotten. And you know what it's like to have to go back and try to tell a tale when there's nobody left to tell it who actually lived it. And so you've taken advantage of this opportunity, and it's going to be a permanent part of the culture here.
Yeah. As you guys travel around that, have you heard similar comments? Just, hey, thanks for preserving this history?
Yeah, it was a mixture of both of thanks for preserving this history, and then around the Wisconsin of, you know, maybe I didn't know this story as well, but I also lived this story in some way. So we kind of kept running into those comments.
Well, you're on to new projects as these things go in the art world. Tell us about this latest project, what you guys are doing this weekend and in conjunction with the Coupe Championships.
It's a very exciting time in Eau Claire. Of course, Eau Claire is the North American capital of Coupe. If you're familiar, Coupe is a game born in kind of Sweden and these kind of places, and it's come to America in part thanks to Eric Anderson, an Eau Claire native. And so all this weekend, we will be filming the U.S. National Coupe Championship at the soccer parks here in Eau Claire to try to figure out who will be crowned king. Our documentary will be called Kings of Coupe, and basically we spent the last year following four or so teams and a few other folks along the way to kind of figure out about this culture and the people and also the competitive spirit of it all.
I think this is fantastic. We had Ken on the, Eric on the show yesterday talking about this. And, you know, I didn't know anything about it until you guys know my sister and brother-in-law. They got me playing it up here in Eau Claire. And, you know, I think it's great. There may be other people that might not be into it as much. But, I mean, what makes this a great story?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Coupe is, you know, we have all played it in the backyard, and then to go to Eau Claire Coupe League and go to the championship and just see how much people are invested in this. It's a lot of their entire lives. This is their friend group. This is their family. This is what they do on weekends. They travel many miles to do this. This is who they are. So it's ingrained into the people that play it.
And it's the people who heard the interview with Eric yesterday when he talked about the king as one of the pieces, mm-hmm. you know, in Coupe.
Yeah.
Where those are the ones going, oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah, see, you get it. You get it.
Yeah. See, we listen.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Even the shows I'm on, I listen to you.
I have to pay him extra, you know, in beer.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on I think, again, for some people that might not be from the Chippewa Valley, they might not know what Coupe is, but I think we've all had those quirky passions, if I could call Coupe a sort of a quirk, whether it's people who are into chess. I mean, these people are obsessed with chess and will travel all over. Or, you know, there might be fishing. For some people, fishing championships is like, what's that? But is the through line of a filmmaker for you guys, is it just this unique people's, where this human instinct, a drive and passion, no matter what the subject is?
For me, it absolutely is. We're trying to kind of be these flies on the wall for this kind of microculture that people may know something about, but even if you don't know what Coupe is, even if you've never thrown a baton at all, you know what it means to be passionate, to be all in, to be a competitor, to want to win, to want to be the best you can be at something. And what's so cool about Coupe, and all these folks who play tell us this, this is their chance to be the best in the country at something. And they can be 50 years old. They can have just started 3 years ago. They say, you know, don't have to be in the best shape of our lives. But if you can do this one thing, if you can play this sport, and it's not a game, it is a sport, you should ask them, you can be the best in the world, or at least the best in the nation. And it's pretty exciting to watch these folks practice and train all year round for the opportunity to compete this weekend.
Is part of the obscure or part of the attraction its obscurity in that it's a niche sport. Not a lot of people play it. And so you almost feel like one of the cool kids who gets to be in this thing that, you know, not everybody knows about.
I mean, I think yes. And what's so cool is this community is very tight-knit, you know. And so it's weird because last night we went to two Coupe parties and all the competitors there are making pizza, having a great time, kind of throwing batons together. But in 24 hours from now, it's going to be a whole different ballgame, you know. And these folks who are good friends all year round are going to be staunch competitors against one another. They always say there's only one reason we're doing this, and that's to win, you know. And so it's really cool to kind of see the bravado that can come out. It's tricky to be friends but also competitors, and yet, you know, there's no referee. They're kind of like doing this on their own, and so there's a lot of gentleman sports talk about the whole thing. And it's really cool to see kind of passions on display but also the honesty of just doing what's right for the game and for themselves.
We're talking with BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton from Fireside Productions, filmmakers who have done great productions like When Rubber Hit the Road here and other works as well. They're working on their latest documentary on the Coupe Championships taking place in Eau Claire this weekend. Guys, maybe this is a premature question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this yet. I'm going to ask it anyway. So we've been very fortunate at this show to kind of become friends with filmmakers Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, who did the documentary on the Brewer Brewers, just a bit outside the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, who have been on this show a number of times. And one of the things that Kelly and Sean have told us is it's not really a film, a documentary about sports. It's really about a love story between a community and a team, a community who was going through a recession at the time in the early 80s, and they needed something to believe in, and this team of kind of misfits needed a city to uplift them. What's the backstory, or if you know it, what's so far, what's this documentary? It's not maybe just about Coob, but what's the real story here?
I would say that the story is about community. It's about people connecting. It's not the throwing the batons, but waiting to throw, and those conversations that you have. Or in Eric Anderson's case, you know, raising two daughters and him being a big part of Coob and them finding love in it too, and those connections there. So it's more about relationships than anything else.
Very much right, human interest, yeah.
Let's get past the happy stuff here. This is like any sport. There's going to be the heels. There's going to be the who's the New York Yankees. Have we gotten to the point where there is a team that is just almost unbeatable, to the point that people almost either dread playing them or they want the challenge to knock them off? And if that's the case, do they get really full of themselves? Are they humble champions? Let's get all the dirt on this right now.
Oh, man.
This is where you get us in trouble.
I'm going to get in big trouble. Well, I think most would say the greatest of all time, the GOAT, is a guy who teaches in Chippewa. He's an Eau Claire guy named Greg Jochimson. And this guy has his name on the Stapp Trophy again and again and again. He's won multiple national championships, won world championships as well. I mean, he's incredible, and I think other teams fear him, you know, and I think he likes that. I think he likes the mystique, and so he's been really generous with us and kind of shown us his full self. But when he's on the pitch, I mean, he's there to win, and I think everyone knows it, and he doesn't miss a lot. And it's just when you watch people at that level play this sport, I mean, when we play in the backyard, we hit a couple, we miss a couple. They don't miss. It is incredible the level they are thinking about everything they do. They call the game Viking chess, and it's because it's strategic in so many ways, you know. So watching him play and his whole team, Wrecking Crew, they have one of their team members coming from Belgium. They're quite the team, and one to be feared this weekend.
Oh, that's called the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
See, that's great. Perfect. That's appropriate.
There it is.
Is it still what you'd call, you know, a street clothes type event, or are some people starting to, you know,
that's good. Yeah.
Uniforms. Jazz it up. Uniforms. Yeah. Is there any bling involved in this?
Oh. Pat wants the bling. He wants the merch.
You are going to get
cape.
So much.
Is there
bling.
A cape at any point?
So we're also following a team called the Coob Reapers, and they may be the best dressed team out there. They have
the
multiple.
Coob Reapers,
multiple jerseys. They have cups. They have
hats, towels, stickers, postcards. You name it.
Marketing.
There.
Wow.
They have their own wrapping paper.
I need you.
They're pretty good paper, too. I like that. A couple minutes left here, guys. I want to ask you a filmmaking question, because in this new state budget that just passed, in a bipartisan manner on this part, they just reinstituted, it was there years and years ago under former Governor Tommy Thompson, there's a new film office with some tax credits. As filmmakers, does this mean anything? Is this actually something that would help you guys make films, or is this just all political fluff?
Well, I think we're optimistic. Nathan Demings, the guy here in town, has really helped lead the charge. Probably the level we're producing films at, it probably won't have a huge impact right away, but certainly the idea of drawing new industry, new filmmakers to Wisconsin would be enormous. My brother's a filmmaker out in Denver, and they have some tax credits, and that's why he's there, and that's how they do film movies there. Same with Atlanta, same with all the hubs. So if Wisconsin could get in on that, it has great opportunities for other larger productions, maybe beyond what we're doing right now, but you know, maybe one day we'll get there too.
And it does bring other filmmakers outside of Wisconsin here and have them take a look. Minnesota has had good luck with their film program, their film office. So I think this is a really exciting time for us.
I think it's only a rumor, but James Cameron has been on doing a sequel to Titanic.
Unlike Minnesota.
First movie.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
No, but I mean, to you guys' point, I would think whatever the vocation is, wherever you could get together with other people in your business, so to speak, there's some synergy there, and I would think that's good for both commerce in Wisconsin, but also for the art.
No question.
Yeah, there's definitely a story about, there's a movie called 100 Beavers, and they're looking at making their next feature, And with incentives, that might be something that can get them to stay in Wisconsin and do that right here. So little things like that are big wins.
Did we have someone on talking about Hundreds of Beavers before?
We did yes. And I love that movie.
I think that's absolute Hundreds of Beavers. What a name and what a great movie.
What?
I mean, it's anyway, so I think it's great for film. A minute left here or so. Is there anything we have not asked you about this documentary on Coop that you'd like people to know?
Well, what I would say first and foremost is if you're unfamiliar with Coop, if you just want to check it out, this is the time. So starting tomorrow, 8 a.m., come out to the soccer park on Hamilton Road in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or tomorrow or on Sunday to watch the final cage match. You're going to have a great time.
All right, very good. I believe Jerry Mathers is going to star in the sequel to Hundreds of Beavers.
Just a rumor.
All right, very good. BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions, thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate you, and we'll be following you every step of the way. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Come on back. Pat and I are going to talk Northern Wisconsin State Fair after this. We're live on location in Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. We are live on location across the Civic Media Radio Network, Todd Allball, along with our co-host, our friend, our colleague, Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, from every morning from 6 until 9 across most of the stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, it'll be CBS, ABC, or James Kelly News, depending upon which station you're listening to, followed by a check of weather. And then our Mike Clemens with sports. And we're going to come back with hour number two. What?
You said the James Kelly News?
The James Kelly News. That's what here we get here at the tap on every day. And it's fantastic. And speaking of, you never know who's going to stop by the table at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. None other.
In the flesh.
Than our own James Kelly.
Well, to be fair, I was scheduled to be here.
Oh. And it's so standard. I didn't know this, but this is fantastic. I think it's fantastic.
We appreciate this entirely voluntary appearance you're making here for us, and not a hostage situation in the least.
No.
How you doing, James?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying some Brewers baseball. That song just made me think of Bull Durham and Jacob Mizierowski. Oh, boy.
Now, for those who haven't listened before, the last time the three of us were together was at Pat's home, beautiful Lake Wissota. We did the show up there. For those who don't know, James is a New Yorker from Long Island, a big Yankees fan, and I'm not being goofy. I haven't checked. How are the Yankees doing?
Oh, they're going through a bit of a rough patch right now.
But the Brewers, they're on fire.
Yeah, the Brewers, they're looking like they might end up winning the NL Central after all.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We got half a season to go yet.
Are they two games back now? That's
a
not
game
bad.
And a half. Let's just enjoy the ride. You know.
Well, it's great to see. What have you been? Were you here last year?
I was. Yeah.
All right. Because you've been here what, over 2 years now?
Yeah, it's coming up on 2 years in August.
That's incredible. So what's your favorite part of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair as a person who grew up in New York?
Well, it's for me out here, it's who you run into. Obviously, you find a governor candidate here. And last year when I was here, I ran into then Senate candidate Eric Covey and got to ask him a couple questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just luck of the draw. You see people that you wouldn't normally see out and about out here.
That's fantastic. Eddie, what's your favorite fair food? James Kelly.
Ooh, my favorite fair food. That's a tough one. We have a Zeppelis back home for their
Zeppelis. Oh, I'm sorry. What Zeppelis?
They're kind of like cannolis.
Oh, real? I love a good cannoli.
Yeah. But those are great. Those are a fair classic.
Well, when we get done here, Pat brought in some beautiful chocolate chip.
Bucket of cookies. It's no cannoli, but, you know.
We have cookies for you.
Yeah.
You're really underwhelmed by that one. All right.
We work with what we got.
What else you got, Todd?
well, so you got to we had Showman, Josh Showman here on this show. It was very kind of him to stop by. More than Governor Evers is willing to do in our show. He goes and talks to Pat, but he won't come on our show. We put it in writing. We said, Governor, we'd love to have you come on. Not a word back.
Well, maybe he'll announce a third term run on your show.
Or maybe he'll announce he's not running again on our show. We'll
no,
see.
He'll say if he's doing that. He's doing it on Dan Schaefer. No, actually, it should be the other way around. If he announces he's running again, he's going to want Dan Schaefer right
100%.
There. 100%. Yes. and say something like, I'm running for a third term. In your face, Schaefer.
Of course, our own Dan Schaefer, political editor, has written a column saying the governor should not run again. James, you're following news all the time. You're following, and one of the great things about civic media, we're local, community-oriented. Give us the, what's the thing that people are talking most about right now in the Chippewa Valley in terms of local news up here?
Well, this week, it really seems like road work. I'm getting a lot of updates on projects that are coming up, especially in Dunn County. There's going to be a lot of closures, and you got the Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project ready to get underway up in Superior, so that's going to cause some lane closures as well in the next couple of weeks. So it's a lot of road work right now. Other than that, we have Emerald Ash Borer still spreading through the northwest Wisconsin region, and the city of Spooner is looking at some preventative treatment options, so it could be something interesting to watch if it works, if it's affordable.
James comes on our show every Wednesday at 7 or 8:50. To talk about some of the stories he's following. And one of them this week is the new container park is in Altoona, with old shipping containers being turned into.
Well, that's cool.
What are they going to be turned into? Is it like
they're just kind of like vendor spaces, restaurants, kind of like stationary food trucks, sort of.
Really?
For somebody of my age who grew up reading The Boxcar Children, this is like, whoever thought we'd be turning boxcars into the urban development of the future?
Well, it's another cool thing about the Chippewa Valley. Industrious, unique things,
creative.
Yeah, that happen. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, the other big topic around here, the Cube Championships.
Yes, we've been talking about that.
Yeah, I will say last year when they had the Cube Championships, I did a little story about it for the radio. Happened to run into State Representative Jody Emerson at a press conference later that day. Who this isn't a game that we really have a lot of in New York. I found it in one place, Bryant Park in the city, and it was a ton
you
of
did.
Fun. But we called it Cub. That's just how we pronounce it.
Well, in your Eastern accent, I suppose.
Yeah, so I called it Cub on the newscast.
A lot of angry letters?
Yeah, a little pause before the press conference. Like, by the way, it's Cube. And I was like, oh, man, I'm never going to hear the end of this.
She didn't chuck a baton at you as she said that?
No.
I mean,
it was a friendly reminder. She knew I was still new around here.
Yeah. Oh, she'd throw it at me. I mean, again, we're friends.
That's
what friends do.
As you know, one does.
Chuck wood at each other.
Well, this is fantastic. I appreciate the news about the road work because I was driving from here back to Eau Claire last night. I thought the pavement had buckled because what road were we on?
There actually was I-94 pavement buckling northwest to Osseo. Yeah.
Oh, we were on the bypass or something like that.
Yeah. That road work should have wrapped up this morning-ish.
Oh, there you go. That's good news for us going.
You get a lot of that around here. Yeah, you eat a bucket of cookies and suddenly you're just like buckling. The things expand. The roads are kind of the same way around.
The belt's pavement buckling.
Yeah, right? Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, always appreciate you. People can find you here at the TAP and WCFW. You keep people up to date. We appreciate that. Thank you once again for all the hard work, and thanks for stopping by. We always appreciate it.
Absolutely, and I'll be here all evening.
Really? So people could come and meet you? Do you ever get, like, when people meet me and they say, oh, you look different in person?
No, I usually get the, now I can put a face to the name. Oh, that's interesting.
Really? Oh, you see? The tall, handsome dude like that? That's what he hears. What do we hear?
But you were on television, Pat. People knew what you looked like.
Yeah, but they also thought you're on TV. You must be, 6'5".
Oh, right.
And, make a Tom Brokaw-level salary.
Everyone looks taller on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, James Kelly, our fantastic news person here in northwestern Wisconsin. Thank you, James.
Stay tuned.
Next hour, we're going to do some What's Worse. Also, talking to Ken Szymanski and Food with Pat Kreitlow and Todd. Don't go anywhere. It's the Northern Wisconsin State Fair from Chippewa Falls, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.